tonight. Don't have it very often, but I do tonight for one reason or another. And Acts chapter 24, just as we were in Acts chapter 24 for Sunday school Sunday, we'll go into it at a little bit different angle here for tonight's message. Now, Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and verse 25, which says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now the Lord wants everybody to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the reason why so many people are not saved is because there's something in their life that holds them back. And we're going to look at three men here in chapter 24 that, as far as I know, they're still in hell tonight. It's a sad situation, but they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ for various reasons, and we're going to look at that tonight and see what the Lord has for us. And so, in chapter 24, Paul has testified about the fact that he preached Jesus and the gospel. He was accused by the priest and stirring up trouble in the synagogues. Felix and his wife Drusilla sent for Paul. And Paul preached, and it brought deep conviction to the heart of Felix. In verse 25. "And as Paul preached judgment and temperance, and Felix trembled, and as he heard the word of God, his heart began to melt." Hey, you ever been worked over by the Holy Spirit? Now, he can work each one of us over. He can certainly do it. And that was what was happening here with Felix. He was being worked over by the Holy Spirit. He had a tremendous amount of conviction upon hearing what here's what he was saying. "I know he's telling the truth." He's saying that in his own heart. "I know that he's telling the truth." And so, here was a man who was married to another man's wife. His very name means pleasure. He was licentious. His passion went unchecked. He lived wide open. You might say he was having all the gusto he could have. He was living it up. And here was a poor, lost, depraved sinner who had the opportunity to sit and listen to one of the greatest men of God the world has ever seen. When all was said and done, Felix let his love for sin keep him from being saved. Isn't that sad? There's a lot of people like that today. And I've heard many people say, "Well, I'll get saved when I get ready. I'll get saved when I get ready." You ever heard somebody say that? And essentially, that's what he's saying here. "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Not right now, preacher Paul. I'm not ready. But whenever you come by, I just might be ready next time. Or maybe the time after that. Not ready to be saved, but are they ready to go to hell? That's the question. The Bible says we know not what a day may bring forth. There's not one person in this room tonight that can promise me you're going to be alive tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen. in the future. Only God knows what's going to happen, you see. So, now sitting beside this man was Drusilla, and she's an interesting character. Drusilla. And it mentions specifically that she was a Jewess. She was a Jewess, and she knew something about God. Being a Jewess, she was raised in the Jewish religion. She knew something about God. And yet, she rejected. She rejected God. She was living in immorality. And she had forsaken her Jewish religion. Perhaps she had hardened her heart for so long that there was no conviction. That's a sad state to be in, isn't it? If we ever come to the point that we have no conviction, that is indeed a sad situation. I remember the story about George W. Truett, who pastored the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, for half a century, 50 years. He was the pastor there. And when he became pastor as a young man and moved into town, another man also moved into town at the same time. He was a lawyer. And he and George Truett became friends. And this fellow would come to hear George Truett, and he later said this to George. He said, "George, when I was a young man and I came to hear you preach, I'll tell you what, I couldn't sleep at night. I would get up in the middle of the night and I would pace the floor." He says, "Every time that you preached," he says, "it was just like a dagger going straight into my heart." He says, "It bothered me so much." But you know, George, as the years passed, it's gotten to where it doesn't bother me anymore. And I can go and hear you. And you're a better preacher now, George, than you were when you were younger. But I can go hear you preach. Nothing happens. That's a sad, sad situation, isn't it? The Holy Spirit. To reject the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling," this man was past feeling. Now, our salvation is not to be judged upon our feelings, but there is a certain amount of feelings associated with hearing the gospel and being under conviction. And so, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness." Now, Festus was the next character here. And we can see that during the time that he spent with Festus, he had surely witnessed to him. Now, I don't have all my notes on Festus, but basically what the Bible says is that Festus rejected Jesus Christ as well because of his fear of man. He had some sort of a, when you read the scripture there in chapter 24, he had some sort of a fear of the Jews. He kept Paul in bonds, and the only reason he kept Paul in bonds, well, he wasn't afraid he was going to escape or anything. The reason he kept Paul in bonds was to please the Jews. And so Felix's ticket to hell was procrastination. Festus' ticket to hell was unbelief. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that brings us to Agrippa. We see a third rejection of the gospel in Agrippa. the third rejection of the gospel of Christ by a Roman politician. Now in Acts 26 verses, you see that Felix had a working knowledge of Judaism. And as we saw in Sunday school last Sunday, the Christians, the first Christians, believed that they were an outgrowth of Judaism. And so Agrippa at least had a working knowledge of that. When he became governor, he says, "I'm going to be governing the Jews. I need to know something about their religion." He made it his business to find out something about their religion. And so, here's Paul standing before him, and Paul is glad to give his testimony to Felix, and goes into a long discourse here of Paul's testimony himself. And Paul tells Agrippa that Christ was supposed to suffer and die, and that he would rise from the dead. Paul then asks Agrippa the question, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Believest thou the prophets?" And Agrippa gives a sad response here, doesn't he? And it's shared by many people today. He says, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Someone said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. "Almost thou persuadest me." If the devil can keep us believing that all of our life, and finally we die and go to hell, he's won, you see. He's got what he wants. "Almost thou persuadest me. And as far as I know, all three of these men are crying out in the flames of hell tonight. Because of procrastination, because of not believing or unbelief, and flat out denial of the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross." And I'm sure you'll say with me, if we could speak to these three men, "Why didn't you just get saved? Just get saved. That's what you need to do." And now, there's a few things that hold people back from getting saved. First of all, I believe one of the very biggest things of holding people back from getting saved is pride. Pride. Certainly it's one of them. Pride. Too proud to bow, to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. I think that's true, especially in Western countries, where we have so much material things. I think it's not so much true, I think, in third world countries. Pride. We think ourselves to be pretty smart. We've got a color television and two cars in the garage and our IRA, and everything's just hunky-dory here in society. We think ourselves to be pretty smart, don't we? And it tends to give people pride. They're proud of who they are and what they are and where they came from and all of that. And, of course, pride is characteristic of Satan in Isaiah in chapter 14. Satan fell because of pride. In Psalm 10 and verse 4, the Bible says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God." And even though there are many who are not seeking after God tonight, let me tell you something, friend. God is seeking after you. God is seeking after you. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. just get saved. Is it worth dying and going to hell? Is your pride worth it? Remember that eventually, whether this world or the next world, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Next thing is pleasure. Many people love pleasures of this world so much, they're not willing to get saved and live for God. And that too, I think, is predominantly in Western countries. They love pleasure. They don't want to live for God. Now, friend, you think of the most fun that you can have in this world, and I'll tell you what, it's only going to last a short time. Everything in this world that's fun has to be repeated in order to bring the joy back. Solomon said this. Many preachers don't like Ecclesiastes, but I do. I've always liked Ecclesiastes. It's one of the wisdom books in the Bible. Solomon, being the most wise man who ever lived, except, of course, Jesus Christ, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1, he said, the pleasures of this world is vanity. It's all vanity. It's a waste, in other words. One last thing, people. People keep other people from being saved. There's not a preacher I know that has been preaching very long, and he can see out in the audience, and somebody's getting ready to make a move and respond to the invitation, and somebody leans over and says, you really don't want to do this, do you? Think about it some more. Think about it some more. They talk them out of it. They talk them out of it. And many people, the Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And you may put confidence in a church. You may put confidence in a preacher. You may put confidence in a friend who's telling that you're okay and everything's okay. You shouldn't get too excited about it. And all the time you're being led down the road to hell. And all these reasons and many more. Paul was, as a Roman citizen, asked to be moved from Caesarea to Rome, where he would be judged by Caesar himself. It took about 2 years of waiting. If a person in the Roman Empire who was a citizen of Rome, and Paul, of course, was. And one of the privileges you had. And by the way, there were American citizenship has its privileges, but nothing like a Roman privilege of being a Roman. The highways that Rome built were pretty much safe. And the reason you could travel anywhere in the then known world as a Roman citizen and feel safety was that if you were killed, if you were murdered, they would unleash every legion in the area. And they would hunt down that guy who killed you and they would hang him. You did not mess with Roman citizens anywhere in that part of the world. That was one of the privileges of being a Roman citizen. Another, of course, being the fact that if you were accused of a crime, you could be tried before Caesar. That's what he did. And so he boarded a ship and set out across the Mediterranean with 276 people on the ship. And you might have always thought, as I did, hey, they didn't have those big of boats back in those days. Yes, they did. They had quite large ships. You have to have quite a large ship to take 276 people aboard. And in those days, going across the Mediterranean and going across the open sea in a wooden boat was an adventure, to say the least. There is a name for it that has slipped my mind, but basically it was this. If it got stormy, they would tie ropes from one side of the ship around the bottom of the ship. It would come up the other side to hold the ship together. You want a ticket on something like that? It was held together by ropes. It's more like a raft. And so all maritime traffic ceased in the months of December and January and February. Those were rough, rough months. Cheryl and I went to the Holy Land. I'll just tell you this real quickly. We went to the Holy Land back in the 70s, and I wish every one of you could go to the Holy Land at least one time. It was a great experience. And we took a ship from Athens, Greece, over to Israel. And we went through one storm after another. It was the stormiest. It was in February. It's the stormiest place you ever saw in your life. One storm. I've got a picture of me standing on the deck. And I only weighed about 125 pounds back then. And I was holding on to this railing. And my hair was going straight across like that. The wind was blowing about 75 or 80 miles an hour. And then it would stop, and it would be nice and calm, and the sun would come out. And then 2 hours later, it's a raging storm again. It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. Well, 2,000 years ago, they didn't even bother to go out on the sea during that time. But they did. And the ship that Paul was sailing on, and of course you'll remember he was shipwrecked on Malta. And God promised them, God said to Paul, no lives will be lost. And they weren't. And so I'm going to draw for you the shipwreck of Paul on Malta. As the ship broke apart on the rocks of the rocky coast of Malta. Let's have the lights out and then I'll turn mine on over here. Thank you. Let's all stand, please, every head bowed. No one looking around. Lights on. How about you, friend? Are you saved? If not, you can be. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, just raise your hand and say, include me, preacher, in your prayer tonight. Anybody like that? Father, we're grateful for your goodness, your mercy to us. Help us reach those all around us who are lost, and just like these three men in chapter 24 of Acts. They were lost, and they rejected Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help people not to reject Christ, but to accept him as their Savior. Give us strength and give us power for service. We'll give thee the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Just As I Am as we sing that song. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray tonight. You're welcome to come as we sing Just As I Am. Come on.
Just as I am without washed for thee, come to thee, O Lamb of God.
All right, Pastor, you can. All right, I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your goodness. Help us to do well in school tomorrow, and we pray that souls will be saved. We pray that you give the teachers wisdom as they deal with the students. And bless in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.